Good morning. I'm Celeste Headlee, but this is not John Hockenberry. Todd Zwillick is filling in for John all this week. Good morning, Todd.
Good morning, Celeste.
We have the latest details coming out of Afghanistan. U.S., British, and Afghan forces have begun day three of the assault on the Taliban stronghold in Marja in the Helmand province in the southern part of the country. And for the latest details, we turn to Jean McKenzie. She's a correspondent for the Global Post in Kabul, Afghanistan. She's been getting news from her reporters out in the field in Helmand province. Jean, what are the latest details on the offensive?
Well, we're hearing that the Taliban are winding down a bit on their defense, on their resistance, although the spokesperson is saying that the Taliban will resist to the end, that they're not going to let the foreign and Afghan forces into Marja. They obviously cannot hold out for very long against a force of 15,000 troops. But they have surrounded the area with mines. We're hearing up to 70,000 IEDs or improvised explosive devices have been laid in and around Marja, which is a fairly limited district. It's not a large area.
We've been hearing that the NATO and Afghan forces are moving very, very slowly. Is that because they're coming up against more IEDs than they expected?
Absolutely. We heard from one doctor inside Marja that just 200 meters in front of his house, he had seen the Taliban laying 35 mines that were interconnected. So that can do quite a bit of damage to a force that encounters them. They're going to have to move very, very slowly because with a very long run-up to this operation, the Taliban have had ample time to put down their weapons, to put down the IEDs.
Also with us this morning is Jeffrey Dressler. He's an expert on Afghanistan at the Institute for the Study of War. He focuses in particular on military strategy. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning.
I wanted you to listen to this particular clip of tape from Lieutenant Ryan Engel. He's with the Lima Company.
3-6, Lima Company. We came into the northwest area of Marja and took this intersection of the canals. It was limited resistance, much less, no real resistance, much less than was expected. Or we did find several IEDs and bombs and things like that.
Why are we experiencing less resistance than expected in Marja?
Well, I actually don't think that it's a surprise to people who are familiar with the operations that the Taliban have mounted in the past. They typically do not confront a large-scale military force head-on. What they do is exactly what you're seeing. It's a lot of asymmetric hit-and-run attacks, primarily with IEDs and mines. And so this is really much, very much in character for what we've seen in the past. And I think that you know, as I heard you mention earlier, that certainly is going to account for the pace, the slow pace of the operation for the Marines and Afghan troops.
Jeffrey, address the 12 Afghan civilians were killed by an American rocket strike that missed its intended target yesterday. The whole purpose, the military had said, of publicizing this in advance was to, number one, get civilians to safe haven if they possibly could, and to allow the Taliban to cross over. So what does this rocket strike that killed 12 civilians, how does that hurt this offensive?
Well, I mean, there's no question that it's always a tragic event whenever innocent lives are lost. It's my understanding that what happened was it was a malfunction in the rocket technology that caused it to misfire and kind of go off target, and it struck a civilian compound. And I think the reports coming out are suggesting between 10 and 12 civilians were killed. And so, you know, obviously they've tried to do everything that they can to prevent civilian casualties, and that absolutely has been the number one concern, and I know that they'll continue to operate that way. Unfortunately, sometimes when you have that much combat power in a very small area, sometimes things like this can happen. But it's definitely going to be incumbent upon the tribal elders and the newly appointed district leaders who are going to go in shortly to explain to the population, okay, you know, here's what we're here to do. This is why we launched the operation, and we are here to bring you things that you want. And so hopefully they'll be understanding in that regard.
Jean McKenzie, have you heard any response from the, in terms of what the civilian response are to these casualties? I know that the United States has apologized to Hamid Karzai. What are the people of Afghanistan saying?
Well, of course, there's going to be a very angry reaction to this. No matter what the excuses are, you cannot expect that you're going to be able to conduct an operation of this size without civilian casualties. No matter how hard you try, accidents are going to happen. Bombs are going to land on the wrong houses, or rockets, as we see, have gone off course. But in addition to the outright civilian casualties, we've heard that up to 900 families, and that would be numbered in the thousands, 4,000 or 5,000 people, are now displaced. They're on the move. They're going to Las Cargas. They have no shelter. They have no food. This is also causing quite a negative reaction from the people of Helmand.
Jean McKenzie, this is Todd Zwillick here. What concern are you hearing from the troops if they're encountering light resistance at this point, that the Taliban have simply melted into Pakistan and will come back to fight another day when it's more advantageous for them?
I think, of course, that is a concern. They don't necessarily have to have melted into Pakistan. Much more likely, they are melting back into the population. It's very difficult to tell a Taliban from a farmer from a shopkeeper. So chances are that they will just lay down their arms. They will wait for things to calm down, and then they will start, as Jeffrey Dressler pointed out, asymmetric warfare against the troops once they have stopped the active offensive.
Jeffrey Dressler, I wanted to play for you this clip from NATO spokesman Mark Sedwill.
I can't yet say how long it will take for this military phase to get to the point where we can bring in the civilian support from the Afghan government. We hope that will happen quickly.
So we assume this offensive, as we said, is going to be slow and steady, but when it finishes, Janitor Stanley McClistro said we're bringing in government in a box. Is that going to be the hardest part of this, is what comes after they've secured the territory?
I think that's going to be really the marker of success here, not necessarily the military phase, but what these local governance elements, really the Afghan face that needs to be on this operation, come in and what they're able to accomplish. And so I think that we'll look to that over the coming months to see exactly how this thing's going to play out. The good news is we've done this before, even as recent as the past 6 to 9 months, and so we do have experience in that respect. So that's absolutely correct.
Okay, Jeffrey Dressler is an Afghanistan expert at the Institute for the Study of War. He focuses on military strategy, especially in the Helmand province, which is where the Marja offensive is going on now. Jean McKenzie is a correspondent for the Global Post. She joined us from Kabul, Afghanistan. Thanks to both of you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.